What up, doe? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all.
Hi.
When you're out in the club, don't think I'm not. Even when you're out making love, don't think I'm not. Even when you're out in somebody's spot, getting hot, don't stop. Just don't think I'm not. Cause I'm out. I'm out. What is it? What's that last line? Hey, what's the last line, Emerson?
I don't remember. I don't know. That wasn't that song, Why Candy. I didn't like it like everybody else did.
When she had a little flat stomach, her ass.
Yeah,
was like,
that wasn't it. Mine was her other single. The what was it? My mama told me it'd be days like this. My man's been cheating on me.
Yeah, my bad. What's up, y'all? We is back at it again. You know what Evan said? I think today we should play roles of the Breakfast Club. I'll be DJ Envy, and you could be Charlemagne.
I don't think so. For one, I don't know
why, how to play.
I don't know how to play. I don't watch their show like that anymore, so I don't know how to play roles of them.
Do you want to be go old school? You'll be okay if you can't be Charlemagne.
I'll be Angela Yee. You know what? Yes, let's go back to the episode where I'll be Angela Yee and our special guest is K. Michelle. And we'll redo that scene and we can redo it how I would have responded if that bitch would have came up there trying to check me on my show.
Yeah, you don't respect women. You was talking shit about me.
Actually, I wasn't. One of your ex lays or niggas that you fucked were. And they said your pussy stank. I didn't.
Stank puss. What's up, everybody? You are watching. Oh my God, we're on YouTube. Yay, clap it up. You got a song for that? YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I do. Time. Oh, girl, I have to be so unprepared. It's like here, and I just don't. It's like, oh, I be forgetting it's even there. But yes, okay. We've been on YouTube, and we're getting some views. You know, YouTube is a slow grow type of thing. So you kind of have to build it. You have to build the castle and they will come, and we're still building our castle, but it's a whole bunch of, we got a whole bunch of stuff on there.
Okay. YouTube, TikTok, IG. If you listen to us on Spotify, Apple, iHeart, wherever you're tuning in to What Works For Us, all black,
all queer.
Whoop whoop. Yes. Yes. So, I don't know. We should just go jump in it because I'm kind of upset right now. And I think I need to jump into this immediately.
Oh, about the topic today? So,
no. I got to check in.
You need to check in first if you got something to say.
Yes, it is time to what, y'all? Check in. Yes. Emerson, you got to be ready now. I'll be feeding it into you now. You are checking in.
Well, I responded. It ain't like I responded late. I didn't have a delay.
Okay. But my issue, y'all, is, you know, I did my, you know, I was out of town. Shout out to Detroit.
Yes, I'm checking it quickly.
313. Oh, my God. You know, just, you know. No, don't do, baby. I thought it was gunshots. So,
stop.
I almost ducked. But no, if y'all don't know, me and Edmondson are both from Detroit. That's where we were born and raised. And so I went to Detroit for a conference this past week. I just got back yesterday or the day before yesterday. And just being in Detroit, and I'm going to be honest, I didn't get to do much. It made me want to go back again because I was on of course, every time I go somewhere now, I always go to TikTok and just to see what's popping. Like, because TikTok lets you know in real time what's open, what are restaurants, where don't go. You know, you just put in Visit Detroit or Detroit Now, that's anywhere I go. I always go to TikTok first, and then I, you know, go to IG to look up the places I want to go just to make sure it's like giving what I want to give. But TikTok is a really good tool when you're visiting somewhere or going somewhere and you just want to be like, what's popping? Like, you know, and of course it's going to be a TikTok video. And so just being, so I got excited like the day before I went to the conference to see, you know, what was going on in Detroit and what I was going to try to do. But of course it was a conference. I didn't get to do everything, but just being there, it was just like, oh, home. Just from the airport, then I took the, I was like, oh, you know what? I wasn't in a rush to get to the hotel because I had to check in. So I took like the shuttle bus from the airport to downtown. Then I like walked downtown to my hotel. Okay. Everything was, it was like, okay, this was nice, whatever. The shuttle bus was only $6 too. And it was so crazy because this lady, this black lady, that's how I know. I just love our people. She was like, did you get your ticket already? And I was like, no, they said I'd get my ticket, you know, when he pulls up. She's like, no, you got, that's $8. If you want to just pay $6, just go, you know, put it on your phone and buy your ticket, you know, on your phone now. That save you $2. I was like, you know what, girl? At first I was about to say, fuck that $2. And I was like, girl, let me get this $2, you know what I'm saying? And so I went and got the ticket. Then when I saw her, when I got on the bus, I was like, thank you so much. She's like, you know, I got you. I was like, oh, you know, they just felt good. And like I said, just the energy. Of course, I got, you know, Coney Island. I got a corned beef sandwich. I did.
Oh, yes.
I got some chili cheese fries with some squeezed cheese. Yes. I don't care. Yes, I did get all of these things. I got to hang out with my brother. Shout out to Carlos, D'Angelo, TJ. I didn't get to see Cody, Randy. You know Cody, Randy. Mm-hmm. You, oh, my God, Melvin. You remember Melvin?
That name
from Detroit. He was Cody's best friend. Well, he was around. He always had the durag and like the shiny lips and stuff. It was just, yeah, he was.
Yeah, it's he. I'm sure I know him by face and just forgot the name. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So he he passed away, and so Cody was kind of, I know. I'm just like, oh, another young Detroiter, right? But so I didn't get to see Cody, but I did hang out with my other brothers. And of course, I got drunk. I called Brandon and cussed Brandon out. He was like, Tyreek, are you drunk? I was like, yes. And where have you been? I haven't heard from you. And so, yes, me and Brandon got into it. And it just reminded me of, oh, my God, like my gay father, Brandon, y'all, he's been around for so long. I'm just like, I can't believe we still arguing all these years later, almost 30 years later arguing, and I felt like a spoiled child because I was talking shit and I wasn't getting my way. But it was a really good, a good trip. It makes me want to, again, because I was at a conference, I didn't get to do everything, but I hung out, went to a bar, not a club, but just a bar, hanging out, having, you know, it was just a really good time. And it was snowed. I was like, yes, because it was already cold. That was my thing, and I wasn't driving. So if I'm going to go somewhere cold, at least I want it to be snowy, right? Like, who won't cold? I mean, it was cold. It was like the night I, like, on my, what you call that, hotel TV, it was like 12 degrees, right? And that was just the regular temperature. Of course, it feels like -3, and so it was cold. It wasn't no snow. I was like, bitch. And then the next day, baby, it was snowing and we were all outside. I'm just like, oh my God, am I used to this? Like trying to, you know, transport from the car to the, you know, to the restaurant, to the liquor store. Then we was hanging out. And one thing I loved about it, we had finished, okay, don't judge me, everybody that's listening. We had finished our tequila bottle. We was going in. And we got up, it was like 1:30. It was like, if we want some more to drink, we need to go to the liquor store. And I'm like, yes, the liquor store is so close to 2:00. I don't have to rush right out before 9:00 to get some liquor. I can still buy a bottle at 1:30. Yes.
Yay.
you never know how important that is until you're in a situation where you ain't got no liquor and you miss the liquor store. And I've done that so many times in Austin. Like, don't let me take a nap. And bitch, I wake up, it's 8:59. I'm like, oh my God, it's... gotta wait till I get to the bar.
Getting liquor in Austin, I just go during the day, like early. It's like something I do for like errands. Like I'm going to the grocery store, I'm gonna go to the liquor store, because I just so I won't forget, because it's that whole 9 o'clock thing. I've been so many times where I didn't get enough time, and I'm trying to get liquor to go to somebody's house, you know, try to bring some over. Right. Didn't make
that time. You're like, ooh. And I remember one time, I think it was the day we started this podcast back up, I was supposed to go to somebody's house, and we end up going over. It was the first day, remember? We had I missed the liquor store, and I went like, well, I could get some beers or some cut waters or whatever. And I don't even know if they sell cut water. Have you had a cut water yet?
No.
And I know that wouldn't be your judge, like, to actually like, oh, I'm about to go buy some cut water. Like, me neither, really. But I guess
I think it
like,
would be fun though.
Just to see, like,
yeah,
what did you get fucked up? I want to see, like, would I get fucked up like a Four Loko off of cut water, you know?
Yeah, I think Locos I would want to be already a couple of cocktails. Yeah, I would want to be a couple of cocktails in. And I'm like, you know, let me sit up there and drink one of these, you know? Right, right.
Let's see what y'all talking about. Let me see. And so I do want to try the cut water, but I haven't had one. So I say that to all to say, I come home. One of the things, my rituals, and I was talking to my friend earlier, is like when I go out of town, I clean up before I go. Like, clean up the house. I like to make sure like stuff is washed, the living room, kitchen. So I cleaned out my refrigerator too, because I had a lot of stuff that I needed to get rid of. And who goes out of town with stuff in the refrigerator? You know what I'm saying? Like, your garbage, like, you got to make sure none of that stuff is lingering. You don't know, the electricity might go out, and you got... already got spoiled stuff in there that I was supposed to throw away 5 months ago, and I believe it, you know, for 5 days when I don't know what's going to happen. So I cleaned out the refrigerator, all of that. So I come home, I don't have any groceries. I remember like the night I came home, I didn't have nothing to snack on at all. So I woke up around 7 o'clock that morning, did my grocery order, because I was like, I had nothing. I had like rice and water. That's all I had, because I threw everything away, whatever. So one of the things I ordered, I like to have some food. I was like, ooh, and I saw, I went to Fiesta. Don't judge me. I did go to Fiesta. They had like a 20% off, you know, DoorDash. So I can't tell y'all where I usually get my groceries from. It might not be politically acceptable, so I'm not going to say where I've been caught going grocery shopping more recently. Just say Tabitha Brown got a line there.
Girl, I be seeing so many Target bags and my people's backgrounds and stuff. I'm okay.
So I'm not the only one.
No, a lot of people, my YouTube girlfriends, they just don't say it. But I be seeing bags in the background. I'm like, oh, girl, you went to Target. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, why would you say it? You try to throw me under the bus. Why would you?
Well, Tabitha Brown, that's a giveaway. Like, listen. Where else does Tabitha Brown have a line at?
Sephora.
It's Ulta. But you right, it's Ulta. But you don't buy groceries from Ulta. So
clock that with them two fingers touch.
Oh, know? Wait, hold on. We got it.
You know it's tea when you see them two fingers touching.
Yeah.
So I made my grocery. I got up really early, put it in my groceries, and I had a sweet tooth. So I was like, ooh, and I saw they had like a pineapple upside down cake, right? So I've been wanting some cake. I actually want to make a cake, because it's this lady that's on TikTok right now. She made all these recipes. That lost black recipes from like throughout. She did one every day for the month of February for Black History Month. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
She dressed real pretty, and she's like, these are lost recipes, you know, that we need to see if we can bring her back. It's a really good content. And she been just making all this like burnt cake and this cake and that cake. And I'm like, bitch, I've been having to taste for some cake. and I can't make a cake because I don't have a cake pan. I don't have the supplies to make a cake. Like, I don't have a blender or I don't even think I got flour, right? So I just don't have stuff to make a cake, right? And I definitely don't have like a cake pan or anything. So I'm gonna order a cake. So I put the groceries. So first of all, me and the DoorDash guy got into it. And I don't know why I keep getting to with these people, right? Because he called me and I'm at work. So I did it. I was like, so it was Friday morning. So I'm sitting right here at work. And he called me like, I have the code, you know, expires. Oh, okay, my bad. Let me just open the door. And I said to him a code. He was like, send the code. I said, okay, I'm going to send you the code. He was like, do you want your stuff down here in the mailbox room? I said, don't you leave my stuff in the mailbox room? Like I said, why would you need my, I'm not going to be able to make, it's like three trips. I'm like, well, bitch, why are you doing DoorDash groceries if you don't have the supply? He's like, are you yelling at me? Don't yell at me. And I'm like, I'm not yelling at you. Well, I did yell at him when he said he's going to leave my groceries in the mailbox room. Like, excuse me?
Why doesn't he have a wagon? No. You should have a wagon.
That's my point.
That. Yeah.
That's my point. And so I was like, you know what? I was like, if I message him, I was like, Tyreek, because the last time I got into it with the DoorDash guy, we were about to fight in the hall. So it can escalate real quick. So I didn't tell you about that when I took a knife down there because the DoorDash guy.
Wait a minute. You took a knife for the DoorDash guy?
He had threatened me. So I took a knife. And then, so we have.
Well, I'm gonna need you. You are not in the streets. Like, if that happens, you get in contact with customer service. You don't take it upon yourself with a knife. You're not gonna be, because that other girl who had that case with that man who was naked and she recorded him and put it on TikTok. Now that case, and she took it upon her own hands and she ended up losing. You know, that's the totally. You gotta just deal with customer service.
Child. Well, he had threatened me, so I went down, I put my coat on, I went downstairs, like, we gonna get into it, and then I guess he had dropped my order off. I'm all over the place now, but since you brought that, he had dropped my order off the guy that I took the knife downstairs, and so we ended up meeting each other at the elevator on the first floor, because I guess we passed each other, and he was like, oh, that was you talking shit, and then I looked at him, and he was like, drugged out, like he was like, what you want to do? He was like, I'll kill your ass. I was like, okay, wait a minute now. I don't want to necessarily die, you know, over this. And so,
wait, first of all, like, you are working. He could lose his job. Like, your job, sir?
He was messed out. He was like, so that's what I had. So when I went down there, I was on that rah rah stuff. And then when I saw him, I was like, oh, he don't have nothing to lose. And he was like, I'll kill you. And so I'm glad I did take my knife. I was like, you don't want this. But I started backing up, you know. I was backing up. I was like, don't you call. I said, I'm going to let, you know, DoorDash. He was like, no, what you doing? Let's take care of this now because I'll kill you. And he all screaming and stuff. And I was like, okay, this. Let me just go. And so I ended up coming. Yeah, I was like, I had to lock. That's when I had the dog. I was like, and lock my doors. I'm like, he got my address. He was in the building. He knows where I live at. Da 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 da.
Oh my gosh.
So that was like a whole thing. I did contact DoorDash for that because he had knew where I lived. And I'm like, oh my God, if you want to retaliate or, you know, I don't know. And stuff like that. I was talking mad shit too. But when I saw him, I was like, you know what? Maybe I need to let this go. So the guy that I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna do a repeat. So I was like, I messaged him. I said, you know what, I'm gonna bring a cart down there and meet you. And so I went downstairs and met him at the door. Took my cart that Dre gave me because I've never used this cart before. Whatever. Dre gave me an extra cart for groceries, but
yeah, I don't. You should have one.
But I don't really go grocery shopping, so that's why I never used it. I only shop online for groceries. And if I do go shopping, it's like two bags. And I'm not about to be doing all that shopping and carrying all the bags. But anyway, I went down there and I helped him. He's like, oh, this is my first time. And then he was like, what's wrong with your leg? He's like, I thought your leg was broke. And I forgot that I have on my thingy, my leg is broke. So just in case they try to like drop it off downstairs, I was like, it is broke. That's why I'm home from work. And I started limping while I was helping him carry the bag.
Girl.
And so I'm helping him. He's like, this is my first time. I was like, well, yeah, I said, you need to get you. That's why I said, you need to get you a car. Like, why are you doing Uber groceries and think that you don't have a car? You don't have no car.
Did he say
no,
it was nothing. His first day, though?
It was his first day.
Okay.
So that's why I was glad I did what I did. He was so appreciative. I was limping through the hallway. My leg is not broke, but I had to pretend like my leg was broke. So I'm limping through the hallway. He was like, I am so sorry. I was like, yeah, I just took a bunch of pain pills so it doesn't hurt as much. Just, you know, I'm like, and all of that. So it was two things that when I put my groceries up. One, he gave me 1% milk. I was like 1%. I already get lactose free as it is, and I do 2%, but 1%, that's water at that point. Like, I did not ask for no 1% milk. And then, so I put the cake up, like, on my counter, and it was like halfway through the day. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna get to this pineapple upside down cake. I opened the cake. Why is it mold on top of the cake? I was like so angry. I said, what is that? I'm like, touching it. I'm like, bitch, is that mud? I was, Evan said, a bitch that's been waiting on something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was waiting on it. I had worked out, was eating health. I was like, oh, I'm going to get to this cake later, right? You know, like, and it was mold on the cake. I was so pissed. So I still got it there because I'm taking it back. And it was only, what, $11? I'm taking the damn cake back because why are y'all serving molded pineapple upside down cake at Fiesta? That's why I don't fuck with Fiesta. Like, it already smelled like a dirty mop water in there or whatever. And I was trying to do the little 20% off little thing they got. And I ended up with fucking molded cake and 1% milk. So that's my check-in. That's my tragedy, you know, trying to do the right thing and buy groceries and not order out. And I get molded cake. So
that's what I prefer, though it doesn't guarantee anything. But I like to actually do it. Well, I like to order it through the grocery to get it done from actual people that work at the grocery store. Like, HEB does deliver. So, like, you know, even though they work with another service, but a lot of times those people work in the store all the time. So they're better at checking, or at least those people that be doing DoorDash, they don't care. They just trying to fill a quota. Like, well, I got to work to you, shit. And I got my $15 for this hour I worked. So.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. But that was a tragedy. So if I'm a little disgruntled today, just know it was because of my molded. It's still sitting there too. I walk past it every day.
But can't they, if it's molded, can't you just let DoorDash know that too? They don't have it where you can let them know your quality, some of your items were bad, and they just refund you for it?
Yeah. I think I can, but it's the principle. Yeah, because I do that with like actual fast food orders. But I'm going to Fiesta because
you want them to
they need to change. Yeah, they need to, because it's, you don't get away with having molded cake sitting on your damn thing. And I looked at it like Best Buy March 2nd. So even, it's not even old, right? Like March 2nd is, you know, Best Buy.
Yeah, right.
It's not even there and you already got mold on here. So I want to see somebody in person, the manager, the store manager, the bakery manager. And I'm going to talk about that and the mop water. So, that's shout out to Fiesta. If you in Texas, you know. That's how I go, why. Okay, that's my check-in. I'm saying,
wow, you now, girl. That was a lot. Mine ain't never compared to that. So, I ain't got that kind of action going on. I actually go in the grocery store, which I don't like the grocery store. You would think I would order too, but it's just something about it where I'm just like, no, I need to go in and, you know, I just be wanting to see for myself as much as I hate it. But right. Yeah, I'm in a grocery store all the time. I never would have thought that would be me. I would be that person. But
I can't.
I don't blame you. But it's just certain stuff like my lemons. I don't trust people picking my lemons. I'm like, I need to see my lemons myself. I only trust my eye. And then when I buy stuff like green peppers and stuff like that, I only trust my eye. I don't trust,
yeah, even though, so like, what I just doing with a green pepper.
I make my plant-based steak fajitas, and I use the little green peppers for that.
Okay. I'm just, you're a whole new woman now. I've never heard you say, you always talk about lemons because, you're iced tea girly. Mm-hmm. But I've never heard you say nothing about no damn green peppers. So it just, I just can't even, like, you cut them yourself or you get them already pre-cut?
I get them pre-cut. I tried to cut them myself, but I ain't got that kind of time. Okay. I'm not that advanced. But even when they pre-cut, I still like to look at them because it's like, they be in those, it could be the same situation. They could be molded and they got a Best Buy date, like, oh, but yeah. So I be wanting to see all that stuff with my own eye. But I guess on my check-in, I don't really have much going on with me. Business as usual for me. It was a beautiful, you said you went to the gym today. You went outside today? It was so nice today. Oh, you did?
No, I went downstairs. I didn't make it to the gym today. Remember, not today. Remember I told you that earlier? I didn't make it to the gym.
I thought you said
today.
You was going to go. Okay, well, anyway. Well, you can, it makes sense. You have a gym in your building, so that would make sense. That's the perks of living it. Yeah, so that would only make sense. But it was such a beautiful day outside today, but I didn't do nothing. I cleaned up and, just was, and I did a lot. I did stuff for this. I did a lot for this today. I took me like almost 2 hours to do the clips that I sent you. The most last ones I did for this, it took me 2 hours because I had to reformat them and all this kind of stuff. It was a whole thing. So that I did that. That was something productive. And then I cleaned up a little bit. And I realized today when I was cleaning up, I was like, let me speak for myself. When I was younger, I always thought that I was going to live in one of those big ass houses, like a big ass, like, not a Chateau Charest type house, but I always thought I was going to live in a big house, a big new modern house. I thought that was all I was going to do. But as I get older, it's just funny how things change. And I'm like, I don't want no big ass house now. Because who going to clean all that? It's a lot to clean. It's a lot to clean a house. And it's like, even if you don't use certain stuff, you still have to, or you don't go in certain areas frequently, you still have to clean it. And it takes time. Yeah. And it's so time consuming. And, I'm only in like 1800 square feet. So that's not big at all. But I just couldn't, and then when my man comes in the picture, I have to double this. So it has to be 3600. So like, okay. But even still, that's not big. So I'm be like, that's not a big house. It's not really, I guess, if you think about it from grand scale of things, especially like compared to Chateau Charest. But who gonna clean all that? It's just a lot. It's just, you have to clean in shifts. Like, okay, I'm gonna clean this area. I'll clean up today. I'll clean down tomorrow. Like, it's a lot. And then all the other stuff, like when you're in a house, the stuff you have to do yourself, like, replace the air filters, make sure you got somebody doing maintenance. So, cleaning up your yard, it's just a lot. I just couldn't imagine having a big ass, like Chateau Charest type house. And I'm just trying to
What about a housekeeper?
Well, see, that's the thing. That's what probably everybody's saying. You just get somebody, a cleaning service to help you. But I feel guilty about that. Cause I'd be like, I can clean it. It's not that I can't. It's just, it's a lot. And I just feel guilty. Like, well, what? I'm able to clean my house. I don't, what I'm saying? I shouldn't have to use it. So that's the thing, the guilt of it. Just having a cleaning service come, like, I know I could do this myself. It's just so much. And this, what space I'm in now, I could do it. It's just still a lot, though. It's just still the minor details. And, like bathrooms and kitchens themselves just is a lot. So, yeah, I was just thinking about that, how as you get older, things just change. You want one thing, and then you get older, you're like, nah, fuck that. Like, I see why people who older, they be like, they want to move from a two-story house to a one floor. I know one is because mobility, but other thing, just something smaller, because who just has time for all that? So,
yeah, I know Gigi was real big about that. Like, when she moved to her little apartment, she was like, I don't want no house. She moved out of her house. It's like, I don't got time for that. Who's gonna run a household?
Team two. It's a lot. It's just a lot to think about, especially when you have a whole bunch of other stuff in your head that you're thinking about. It's just like, ugh, it's a lot. But yeah, that's it for me. I really can't think of anything else. It's just a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff in the world happening outside of me. Oh. And I be seeing on the internet, and it's just one thing after another, after another, after another, after another.
Right. We woke up at war.
Right. Right.
I went to bed. I was up at 5 this morning, and the news was hitting. Talking about, and when the president Trump did that speech and said that they were basically, you know, sending missiles to Iran. So woke up and it's U.S. at war with Iran. I'm like, oh my God.
And then the whole thing, right, we at war, and then the whole thing happened, and that's about you like going to, how do you say Polo Verata? How do you say that?
Puerto Verata.
Puerto Verata, yeah. Nisha Nash and her wife was there. And they had, I guess, you know, they know people in high power, you know, so I don't know if it was Oprah or one of them called up one of their people, but they was like, you know, they called somebody and they had them come get them. But yeah, that's a lot. Seeing that, it's a lot going on. But in my world, I'm just still trying to just keep track of, you know, everything I can take, everything I have control of.
Mm-hmm.
And RIP to Mary Cosby's son. That was a lot.
That was a lot. That was a lot to process. And
yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm just gonna say that was a lot. I didn't want to even believe it. I saw it. Of course I'm on YouTube, and I saw a short from Kempire, and I looked at the text. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? And I didn't know. It was like, you know, it said something about, you know, rest in peace, RP to Mary Cosby. I'm like, Mary Cosby, what's going on? And I saw, I'm like, oh my God. And I feel like we're so connected because we went through that whole journey with her pretty much. She was so transparent about it. And I feel like all of us that watched the show, we in it. And, you know, mm-hmm. her still choosing the film. Everybody agrees differently, so I'm not going to judge on that. I more power to her. I can understand it. Maybe her keeping her busy and keep her mind off of it. But that's just going to be a lot for us to process with that too. We've already had, I mean, that's going to be deep. So I don't even know if I'm ready for season 7 of Salt Lake City. No, I don't know if I'm strong enough for all that. But anywho, RIP to him, and my condolences go out to Mary and her family. And yeah, that's it with that.
I mean, to kind of go, like, I have RIP for sure, right? That was a lot. Because, like you said, I felt so connected to the story. But not just the story, like, just to make, you know, especially now that, you know, what happened to him. It's not just a story. I felt connected to him, mm-hmm. his story, per se. And to watch somebody basically die in real time on TV is that's a lot. That because we saw the, you know, even at the reunion, you know, he was in jail. You know, we saw all of these things. My only, and go back to what you said, I can't judge about how people process grief or anything like that, or really, I have no stake. I don't know nothing. This is just something I'm observing. And I'm going to start with Mary and her mom situation, because I've always felt that was a little peculiar, right? Like, while I know this, we don't know the history, we don't know. Mary has done a good job of dealing with even the death of her mom in real time on TV. In a way that we really don't know what she's kind of just chop it up like we didn't talk. And I felt like it felt so, I don't know, ice. You know, it felt weird. Like as a viewer, it felt very, and not just as a viewer on the show, but just as someone who looked at the clips and tried to find out more information, especially when that the HBO, that whatever that was, the ID TLC special came out. Yeah, the TLC special came out. So you know, I went down a rabbit hole, like watching the clips of her mama, watching the clips of her sister, just all these different things that I went down on a rabbit hole watching. So, and when he did ask, like, Andy did bring it up on a reunion, you know, she was just like, you know, she really didn't have much to say. And even, so that was one thing that I noticed she did. And the other thing that I noticed that I felt was even her response about Robert Jr. being in jail was almost like, you know, that's a better place for him. And I understood what she was saying, right? I understood what she was saying, but the messaging felt cold. It felt like, you know how them people, I was watching a show, and I was watching The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, and there was this real religious woman on there. And she was just basically like, you know, if you believe in God, you know it's people's time to go, right? Like, so she was like pro-death and pro, like, it is what it is thing. And, my bad. And so, I don't know, it's something about watching Mary in her religious way of talking about death that scares me or something. Because I feel like she's almost like, no, people is meant to die type of thing. And that's, I don't know why I'm getting that feeling. I got that feeling about her mom, and I got her feeling about her, you know, her son. She was like, you know, he's in a better place even when he was in jail. And then her response this time around, like that message about, I don't know. I guess it's funny with me when it comes to like religion, when people are like these holy, you know, they pastors or, you know, they're holy rollers in a sense of, in a way. Mm-hmm. Her response about Robert Jr., I'm just, at the end, she's like, is she, I want her to, how can she record? Like, how is she even talking about season 7? Like, how is that even possible? But I think she's able to do that because she's just taking it to the board. And I can't be upset at that. I'm not judging that. But I do feel that coldness from her. And it almost, I almost feel like in that messaging, like his body, it's not even a funeral, and you already got to put a statement out that you will be filming season 7. Like, why would that even be a statement that you or your lawyer or Bravo even put out in the atmosphere? Can you at least have a funeral first? It's just, and I hope it's not for content. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm just kind of just like,
people handle grief differently, and I, you know, like, I hear what you're saying, but I have to be like, but people handle grief differently, and
right,
you know, I mean, I've read the processes of grief and what you're supposed to go through, and it's like, okay, yeah. And I totally, I'm like, okay, yeah, this happens. Oh yeah, that does happen. This does. Okay, yeah, that happens. That happened. But some people don't follow that, so it's like, you know, I get it. I mean, I get what you're saying. But I'm just trying to be respectful, because if she's not processing this right, and I, you know, internet's, I mean, I, don't come for me, Argentina, but if she's not processing this right and she's continuing to go and she's done and she's not properly grieving, then that means that her cast members that she's around, they can feel the rafts of that. And that's not fair. Like, especially right. If they're trying to be there for her, I could go deeper into that. But I'm going to wait. We'll just see as we get closer to. But I will say this: when it comes to season 7, I'm not going to be. I think by the time it airs and everything like that, my you know, I feel like I've given enough time not to say anything. And by then, I'm just going to say whatever I feel. And it just is what it is. For all y'all Mary fans who say you better not say nothing about Mary, I might have something to say then. But we'll see. But for right now, RIP to Robert Jr.
And, RIP. And love to Mary. Because Mary is one of my entertainments. I just hope it's not at a... I want to say something so bad. I keep trying to sneak it in there. Let me just... Next subject. Next yeah, subject, think, please.
Right. Okay. Wait, hold on. Oh, I can't find it quick enough. But yeah, let's just go ahead to the next thing, Claudia. That's right. That's what I was going to play. But anywho, okay, so something happened this week that at an award show that made my mouth just drop to the floor. When I first saw it, but after a while, I was just like, I'm not surprised. But after hearing all the stuff afterwards about it, and when I'm talking about the BAFTA Awards, I'm not surprised, but it's just like, wow, they really are trying to play in our face. But here, I'm not going to play the video. I don't want that in the ethers of this podcast that, you know, somebody using that those words against us as a people. I just don't. If you want to hear it, you can go on the internet and hear it. I'm not going to play that part, but I do have the photograph here, or, you know, the post, you know, that I originally saw. The N-word hard R was said 3 times to 4 different Black people, specifically during this year's BAFTAs. And I didn't even know about the other ones. Like, it was people that worked, like, staff or backstage, and they heard it too. So it was just, I have a lot to say about this, and it's not a popular opinion. It ain't. So whatever I say today, it's just me. It's not a reflection of the podcast or Mr. Telltales. It's me. It's my thoughts. So if you're going to come for somebody with that, come for me. Essence of Style on Instagram, because I don't care what you say. I feel how I feel, and I got to say. But this is something that happened and during Black History Month. And yeah, I guess I should just go ahead and say what I got to say, because the video I got to play is just an apology.
I mean, put it out. Let's hear it. I want to hear what you got to say.
Okay, so my whole thing is, a lot of people are saying on the internet, other people, that's not, that okay, we don't understand Tourette's, and we don't understand when people have a disability, and that we need to be more sensitive, and pretty much we just need to take this on the chin. And I totally disagree with, we should just have to take it on the chin. I could be sensitive to somebody's disability, but I tell you what, if you know a person has a disability where they just randomly use the N-I-G-G-E-R word, and especially amongst, when they amongst other people, then maybe if they go into a place that is going to be other people, maybe there should be some type of different accommodations for them. Maybe you should just put them with GP if that's possibly going to be an issue. Because my thing is, since when is it okay? Let's say if it was a person who had some type of disability where they just punched people randomly, or they punched randomly. And every time they went somewhere, they just punched somebody in the face. They punch you every time. And they say, oh, N-word. So if you're going to take them up to the BET Awards, like, why would you do something? Like, it seems like some type of different accommodation made that they can maybe still attend, but maybe they're sitting in a separate room. Maybe they're backstage on the side of the stage and there's not anybody like that. I mean, maybe we have to have, for people with disabilities, you do make accommodations. It's like if somebody had a wheelchair, you have to have wheelchair accessible, you know, roles and seating and stuff like that. I think if that was a thing, then, you know, that should have been handled or thought about beforehand. And for them, everybody just to say, we're supposed to be the bigger person, take it on the chin. Why do we always have to take harmful things done to us on the chin and act like, I mean, duh, it's been like that since it's always been like that. They always say, oh, just have to deal with it, take beatings, take this. We just always supposed to just take it and just keep on moving like ain't nothing happened. But no, I don't think that we should just have to take this on the chin. And then seeing the fact that this was pre-recorded, Warner Brothers had got word that was happened, and they tried to tell y'all to take it out, and y'all took out the other part about Free Palestine, and I think there was something else that they took out too, but y'all just happened to manage to leave that out. And I think he said it like 3 times. Like, y'all are trying to play in our face. And then we're just, we're supposed to be empathetic and just like, oh, it's okay. And I guess I have to hear what you say about this next. I don't even know if that was that bad. I call bullshit on that. I don't think that we should just take it on the face and just say, oh, yeah, we have to accept that. And we just, you know, step abuse. And that's just what we are, you know, because I think his disability was put, I mean, it was put on the forefront. But my thing is, what it could have been to me, it could have been, okay, we acknowledge that, but also you acknowledge black people, two of our black actors on the stage, you know, two of our great black actors on the stage had to sit and deal with that. They said that Michael B. Jordan's parents left in tears. I'm like, and nobody is saying it's just, it's all about the guy with the Tourette's, and it's nothing about what we went through, what they went through. None of that. And, you know, y'all always talking about a boycott. Y'all bet not go to that award show next year. None of y'all. None of y'all. Allies, y'all shouldn't either. But, you know, they be, you know, sometimes people be so pressed to get awards from, you know, that validation from them that, you know, they might be back there next year. I just, all this during Black History Month. That's just my thoughts. My first thoughts. That I don't think we should have to take it on the chin. And I don't think that, I think the apology was bullshit. And yeah, I think outside of that, I just think we've been, that word, dang, this word has been, this has been a thing as of late. So, you know, I think it's something going on. Y'all trying to bring that word back and make it like a regular thing. And I think y'all want y'all ass whooped. That's what I mean, that's what I'm thinking. You want to get your ass whooped. Because that ain't something we just about to start taking. We're not taking this on the chin. Like, or at least, now, people I've heard talk about it, none of us are just like, oh, we just accept it. We're like, oh, no, this was some bullshit. But I'm sorry, I've said enough. That's it. That's how I feel about it as of right now. I think the apology was bullshit, too. I'll play that. But what do you have to say about it? Because I'm sure yours is a lot more deep than mine.
No, don't try it. But, I mean, let's go and call a spade a spade. This is bullshit. They played in our face. But I want to go back to really dive into the disability part of it, right? And this, like, we are supposed to, like, we don't know about what it means, somebody living with Tourette's or someone's living with all types of disabilities. First of all, when we think about disability politics and disability justice in this country, that's on the back of healing justice movements, on social justice movements, on the back of black and brown, queer and trans people, right? Like, the whole social justice movement, which includes disability justice, is all, you know, on the backs of transformative justice, all these things that is ushered out of us having to fend for ourselves as black people and queer people, and trans people, but also for us having to fight for everybody, right? That's the whole point of, like, all of these social justice movements. And so, as you know, we talk about people living with HIV, right? That's at the intersect of disability justice. Like, people living with HIV deserve to live. If we're talking about in the 80s and early 90s, they deserve to have medication. People, we talk about people, you know, wheelchair accessibility, right? Like, all of these things, that these all came out of movements that everybody deserved to be treated the same and have access, equity, right? So there's no way that you can talk to someone, a black and brown person, and I say brown because a lot of the Chicano movements and all of those farmers movement, all of those immigration justice, right? All of these movements come out of people not having access and people being oppressed. And so there's no way that you could tell black folks we don't know what that means, right? Like, we don't know what having access means or being able accommodations, right? Like, that's, we know what that means because we know that the playing field has never been on an equal status. So there's never been an opportunity in the United States of America that black and white people have the same opportunity. And even now, as we celebrated 250 years of America, right? It's our 250 years. we still are not on the same equal path. So we understand what accommodations mean. We understand about making sure that people have ramps. We understand that people language justice, that, you know, I'm not upset that we have to translate stuff in Spanish for people, because we know that Spanish is some people's first language, right? We know that if you're Black, and that's why I get mad at Black people, that they just need to learn the language. I mean, that's a like, you sound like the colonizer. They just need to learn the language. I mean, I get it. We are foundational Black Americans. I love that I keep saying that phrase so much. And not saying that I had anything to do with it, but I'm just saying I love that that phrase is getting traction, and that was a part of what we've been talking about on this show.
That came from Hotep.
Okay.
I know exactly where it came from.
Yeah. And so with that being said, we know what it means not to have equality, and we understand equity, and we understand that. So we understand what it means for disability justice, right? It's a part of the movement. We understand that women deserve, you know, abortions, that they deserve to get quality care, that you can't tell a person what to do with their body. That's all a part of our movement. So there's no way in hell that white folks in America, white folks in Britain, white folks anywhere in this world can tell us, foundational Black Americans, what it means or how we respond to people living with disabilities, right? A lot, we just know. A lot of our, anyway, and so that's bullshit in itself. The issue is not that this person had a disability or Tourette's and all of that. The issue is what he said. And that's just period. And not only what he said, that it was what he said to people in their face, Black people in their face, Black Americans to their face. And then it was aired on television. So it's not about his disability, because because I don't want to reframe what you already framed. Like, you already framed it, right? Like, accommodations could be made for people, or maybe that wasn't a space that someone of his, you know, vernacular, meaning, you know, that he, I'm pretty sure this is not the first thing he might have said obscene. I've heard, listening back and watching videos, he said obscene things before. He shouldn't have been in a place where he could harm other people in that way, right? Because that is harmful work. Like you said, like, just to hit somebody is harmful. Racial slurs is harmful. That you can't take one thing and put value on it, and then all of a sudden now racial slurs don't have a punch. It doesn't have a, you know, it doesn't, he's disabled. Oh, okay. Somebody in a wheelchair, remember that lady? Remember, talk about Target. It's not funny, but remember that lady was sitting outside the Target where they was looted back in 2020. She was stabbing people that was trying to run out with stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you talked about that. She was in a wheelchair.
Yes.
She was stabbing Black people.
Yes.
She was in a wheelchair stabbing people on purpose.
Right.
She knew what she was doing.
Knew exactly what she was doing.
And even if she didn't know she was doing, doesn't make it right. And that's the issue, right? Like, you get, things are intersections, right? And disability justice and racial justice and social justice are at the same intersections. So while we can figure out and we can understand, because we do understand someone that may have whatever, let's just call it what they say, Tourette's, and I don't even know, like, again, we don't know, let's just say that is his diagnosis, right? We just, that's what they're telling us.
Right.
I don't necessarily, I haven't read anywhere, and I might ask him for his diagnosis. I ain't asked for his paperwork, right? Mm-hmm. It is what it is. That can be, and that was unacceptable for that to be broadcast and for Michael B. Jordan and D-Roy Linden to have to experience that. Those are and situations, not one or the other. Like, you got to understand this to understand that. No, they both exist at the same time. And that's the mentality we have to have. And there's no, I can't say nothing more than what you said. That's them planting our face. I would just totally planting our face and then trying to, I mean, if it ain't a Trump, if that ain't something Trump would do with the whole Michelle Obama and Barack Obama with the little monkeys, and to find out that that page was actually run by somebody who works at the White House. But you had nothing to do with it. That's not your sentiments. That's not your feelings. That's not a conversation I came across. It just randomly one day somebody accidentally posted Michelle and Barack Obama in as monkeys on the internet. And it just, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. That's just, oh my God.
You're right.
What is going on? Stop playing with me. Stop playing with me. Stop playing.
They that can't was think we're that stupid.
They can't think of we that stupid. Now, one thing I can't, but I think the Brits are about to, this is not going away. Now, I agree with you, and we'll talk about this a little bit more about this whole boycott thing. You've been on that thing as a sense of protest for a while. Like, don't go to the shit. But I would say, I was in a couple of videos, I was telling you earlier that the Black Brits, I'm actually okay with them right now, because I've seen a couple of videos like, you know, these white folks been planting our face and you know, in the UK for a while. And so now, but now they messing with the Black Americans. They don't want to mess with the Black Americans. They don't let nothing go. You know, they trying to talk shit about us, but also giving us a praise. Why, going back to what I said, why all these justices and all these movements have happened on the backs of foundational Black Americans. Because if you do the research, look back at a lot of these, you know, accommodations and all these laws and all these justices, they're on the back of racial justice, social justice, like I've already just said. And so the Brits, the Black Brits, said, like, they fuck with the Black Americans and they're not going to let that go. We're not letting it go. We're not going to just, oh, it's just, oh, you know, he got Tourette's. Oh, that's just the end of that. No, we are way more in tune of how these things cross at intersections, and one doesn't trump the other. I'm not going to respect someone's disability at the expense of racial slurs, where it's a whole institution, like you're talking about Warner Brothers, BAFTAs, producers, whoever is involved in the whole thing. Y'all are being held accountable. And I think, yeah, y'all mess with Black, foundational Black Americans, and we are known to not let shit go, that according to the Brits. And so, you know, y'all probably benefit from this, actually, as y'all okay. have done so much.
Right, right. Absolutely. I just hope that it is. I hope that people do stand by it. And they, you know, I hope that. And let me say this, too. I do talk shit about boycotts. I do. But I'm not saying that they're not necessary for the people who really do it and they really have a mission. Some people just go to be part of the Get Fresh crew. They just do. They just want to act like they are part of something. They don't even know what's going on. They just showing up to shut something down or think they doing something. And it, for their reasons, don't even be right. You know, they be on some other shit. So I think I be going there. Like, some people just be going just to say, they don't even know what they going for. They just want to go and put it on their Instagram. But go ahead.
But okay, so I got a question for you, because I wasn't even, so you just brought up something specific to you that I am curious about. Because you do like, since we talked about Target, all this stuff is kind of coming full circle, right? We the Target boycott, the different boycotts, you'd be like, it's full of shit. And I've sent, even Target has put out facts about how the boycotts have affected them, and you just like, fuck them. But you are very, but then on the other end, you have been a really big advocate for Black people not to show up to stuff like this. So, like, going back to what this was, I was talking about, so I wasn't even talking about your sentiments about not boycotting, but you on the other end is a big advocate in boycotting stuff that's not meant for us. But then on the other end, you don't do it. Like, I feel like you do it in, like, spaces, but you don't do it in, like, consumerism, right? So you have two different ideologies. Like, you support protests in, like, spaces. You've always been that way. Like, if it ain't meant for us, why go there? So you talk about award shows. You talk about the clubs. You talk about, I mean, even we talk about Brain and stuff now, right? Like, you've always been a person that advocates spaces. But not consumerism. So what's up with that? Because that's kind of two opposing sides.
It is. and it's funny you talk about spaces. Because the next clip, well, a couple of clips, it's yes. I'm going to prove your point right 1,000%. Like, oh, he's absolutely right. Yes, absolutely. Spaces. No, for retail, you should do it too. You should do it for retail too. You should, but I think for me, it with certain retailers, especially retailers I used to work for and worked for a very long time, I just, it's, I guess for me, it just depends. If I know kind of the inner workings of certain things and I'm just like, well, this wasn't even a thing before it just came and I was there and they did XYZ 123. I always saw Black people there. Black people all got promoted there. Da 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 da. Yes, it had its problems. It's corporate America. So it racism is in all corporate Americas. And then the whole thing with certain retailers, I'm like, well, it was another retailer actually that stopped that first. And y'all chose not to do that one because y'all as a people think that that's y'all spot, but y'all didn't want to do it for the other spot because y'all didn't think that was for us. That's what I start thinking about, stuff like that. Like, so for me, it just depends on, that's where I have to separate myself from the Get Fresh Crew. I'm like, well, hold on, wait a minute now, I will be with y'all if we shut all the shit down. Y'all not going to cherry pick what y'all want to pick because I don't even sit up there and be messing with that. But you still be all up in this spot doing hauls and everything on your TikTok and Instagram. Oh, well, you all up in that store. They don't have DEI either. Why are you shopping there? Like, and no excuse. Oh, for I guess what Jamal, the pastor said, that's why I have to separate. So it just depends. It's like, it'd be certain stuff. I'd be like, okay, well, wait a minute. Now, I see what y'all saying, but what about this, that? And the excuses, they don't work for me. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm not with y'all on that. And that's just what it be. So it's like, okay, well, y'all go off. Y'all do what y'all need to do. I'm not participating in that. But if for certain ones, I'm like, well, yeah. Now this one I'm with because XYZ 12, yeah, they used the N-word with the hard ER in front of our faces while two Black men were on stage, and it was two other times that they said it to other people and they didn't do anything about it. They could have prevented this and they chose not to. Oh no, they are trying to play in our faces. Don't go back there. That's not a safe space for us. You know, so if it makes sense, I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. That's some bullshit. But if I don't, I'm like, I don't know about that. That's when I'd be like, okay, no, I'm not. That one I'm not doing. So it does seem fucked up, but this is why, you know, the whole TEP space, I guess as y'all call it, I like independent thinking. I like when I use something, okay, well, let me think about this. And they do that a lot. They be like, well, yeah, they said this, but let's think about it. Yeah, let's think about it. Let's not just get on the bandwagon and do it just because everybody else is. And you really don't have any knowledge about it or any inner workings about it. And like you said, with certain retailers, the retailer said it was affected by it too. But then I hear other stuff. I'm like, well, it was some other stuff going on too. So I don't know. I don't know. So you're right. I don't know if that made my argument, but I'm just being honest. That's just what it is. Sometimes Black people, I'm just not with y'all. Y'all be making decisions about stuff that I'm just not with sometimes because it doesn't make sense to me. And I feel like sometimes y'all just do stuff because somebody told y'all to do it and y'all don't think. Y'all don't think until y'all just, somebody told y'all, a pastor told y'all to do it and y'all just do it just because. So, yeah.
Nah. You know, Are you about to play that your Spaces video now, or me?
Oh, well, we could just play this one a little clip real quick. Hold on, let me get. It's some bullshit.
But in response to you a little bit, where you getting that?
You may have had some strong and offensive.
Oh,
you heard that? I hate that you can hear that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I would say this. You know how I have been moving into that independent thinking too. And I've been forced in that space. We're not going there. It's why I've been forced in that space, right? I've been bullied, of supporting a certain artist and people questioning political views, which is just ludicrous, right? It's a collective, misinformation, right? But I would say this. With that being, I hear you and I agree with you because I'm there. I am 100% there. And I think one of the reasons why I'm 100% there is because information is just too readily available.
Yeah.
Where you can be a part of a collective movement. Because even as I was listening to you, everybody's just not going to do that. Most movements are done through lived experience and like a cause and response type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired of not being able to pay for the eggs. Yeah. I'm tired of not being able to send my child, be able to read the book. Yeah, it's like that call and response, right? Like, people can get you moved or involved in stuff based on emotions, and not just emotions, but based on a lived experience that evoked emotions from you. And I think a lot of big movements are going to need that. Everybody is not going to be, again, these informational experts in said, topic or, that just well-versed in maybe, they're feeling moved about, and I think I've heard a few politicians to say, like, most Americans go by what they experience on a day to day. And that's why it's such a disconnect from politicians, because, or a disconnect from this Republican versus Democrat or this conservatism versus liberalism, is because most people are going off of what they feel and what they're experiencing. And the other people is going off of, political, gangs and, all of that stuff. But if you go to most, I can go to people in my family. And again, we are in a different space because information is so more readily available. Like, you can go on TikTok, and right now I could probably go right on TikTok and I can probably find 10 videos within 1 minute about the war in Iran, right? Yeah. Or like what's happening in Israel, what's going on, Puerto Vallarta, and, how the cartel, I just watched a video, the cartel was like, we don't care about Americans. We are not messing with tourists. That's misinformation. That's fake news. We want to let the government know, the Mexican government know, don't fuck with us. You know what I'm saying? And so, but, the news will make it seem like, and I'm not saying Niecy Nash and all of them didn't need to get out, because I would have been trying to get out too, regardless of, bitch, if they after me or not. If the buildings around me is blowing up and catching on fire, cars is catching on fire, I don't care if they told me to get out the car, I did set it on fire, bitch. It's still time for me to go. What I'm saying? Like, regardless if I'm in a car or not. But the news will make it seem like, oh, they're attacking Americans and tourists and stuff like that. And then I saw another person, Shangela from RuPaul's Drag Race, she did this, like, I'm in PV, people are in the water, people on the beach, we're fine, trying to, show what's really happening. So information is there, but see, goes back to that, right? It could be two different mindsets. Oh my God, they're attacking Americans in Mexico. Oh my God, they're not, right? And you can make an informed decision based on reading, don't always just look at clips, read, fact check as much as you can. But even if you're just a video person, look at more than one video, right? Don't look at one video and make a determination, because you don't even know if that video is true. So it's always good to look at a lot of stuff. So to your point, yes, we gotta stop collectively moving through bullshit, that we need to be more informed. And unfortunately, because if you go back to like Malcolm X, and you go back to Martin Luther King, you go back to James Baldwin, they were speaking truth. We don't have a lot of information being, we don't have leaders giving us a lot of information that's not political gains right now. So we do have to, as foundational Black people, do our research, make informed decisions, and not, but we also have to accept that some people are just going to be moved by the lived experience. And that's a part of a movement. That's going to be the backbone of a movement. Everybody don't give a fuck about what y'all talking about. They marching, or they out there looting, or they out there, taking, gas cans and mace to the face because how they feel and what they experience. So they say fuck the police is because, not that they know all the everything with the police being defunded and all that. Yeah. They know they got pulled over last week and got a ticket and they ain't do shit. Right. What I'm saying? And so they don't know if all the jargon and the political, but they know how they feel. So I think both of those are important, because I just wanted to make that distinction that we need to be well-informed, but we also know that the backbone of every movement is going to be on people's lived experience and how they feel. And they might not be educated on it. They just going by how they feel.
Yeah. Yes. I understand.
Roll the clip.
Okay. Well, this is just his apology that I thought
was. Oh, yeah. I didn't even see the apology.
You may have heard some strong and offensive language tonight. If you've seen the film, I swear you will know that film is about the experience of a person with Tourette's syndrome. Tourette's syndrome is a disability, and the tics you've heard tonight are involuntary, which means the person who has Tourette's syndrome has no control over their language. We apologize if you were offended.
If you were offended. So nothing about the actual act of the racial slur.
Oh, hold on.
And if you were offended.
Go ahead.
Nothing about the act of the racial slur and the question, if you were offended. It's not about an if. It was offensive. And what about what he actually said? What about, could you give us a definition of a racial slur? As you give us the definition of Tourette's, right? Like, again, where's that and at? Right? And I think that would have been more received, because then you're acknowledging the harm that had taken place instead of trying to be defensive about people who are ignorant about Tourette's. I get it. I'm pretty sure people are being ignorant about Tourette's. Like we just said, they're going off. So some Black people don't give a fuck because they know that somebody called them a nigga last week and they've been mistreated by. And so for them, you giving them the definition Tourette's doesn't supersede on how they feel and how they're responding based on their own lived experience. And I felt like that apology would have been a little bit more received from me if it would acknowledge the actual harm that was actually done. And if you want to give out definitions, give out racial slur definition or give a definition of the word nigger. And then we would have had at least both sides would have been acknowledging about our experiences. Again, the intersect of the situation, right? Don't educate us about a disability and just disregard about a racial slur or the harm of that racial slur to those folks that was in the building.
Right.
That makes no sense.
That
if you were offended.
Right, that just totally disregarded us altogether. Just like, well, if you're, like I said, it stresses the disability and just said, fuck, well, oh, if you've been about, oh, well, like, that he had the disability. Oh, well, if you got offended, we don't give a fuck. So,
right. No, that was a horrible of apology if I ever seen one. Okay.
Well. Yeah, so I can't say anything. I think you nailed that right on the head. So there's nothing else more I can say about that. It was some bull swanky bullshit, whatever you want to call it. And we are not here for it as a people. And we are not going to go to y'all war show next year. I'm saying we ain't. And if you do go, we know something.
Okay. And I wish I would be called a nigger somewhere and then go back for a fucking award. Bitch, send that shit in the mail. Because you can always be if you're going to win a war, you're going to always be the winner. But you have to, again, you have to stand for something.
Right.
Bitch, like, my gosh, like, don't fucking, you know, tap dance all through the UK. What the hell?
Okay. Now, I don't know why it's been playing the sounds and I don't have the tape up. So I'm like, okay, I got the next one, but I don't want it to.
Go ahead. I'm ready.
Well, anyway, I have another clip that's going to speak to what Tyreek was talking about. Now, I don't know how to make this play without you hearing it. So let's see. I just might just go ahead and publish this and y'all just going to see some stuff. You ain't going to see nothing you're not supposed to see. But I'm just going to go ahead and prep it and then I'm just going to play it and then hopefully...
Besties, if y'all are coming to Miami...
Uh-oh, hold on. All right. Here we go. Oh, let me make sure it's published. It's not. There we go. All right.
Or live in Miami, please don't go to this spot. Please, listen to me, do not go to this spot. I had such a disgusting experience with them last night. And I already made a video last night as soon as I came in. So I'm just going to play the video. But please, if you know what's good for you, don't go here. Roll the clips. Today, I was just feeling like, I just want to be outside. Like, I want to dress cute and go outside and shake my ass. Because I've not done any ass shaking in a minute. Because, you know, we store that trauma in the hips. I wanted to shake my ass and just have fun. Like, you know, get a little tilted and have some fun. So, I had dinner with my friend. Super cute, super gorgeous. I had the best time. And then, some of my other friends were like, we are at this spot called Mary Lou's at... the W, you should come through. I was like, yeah, I want to hang out. I want to shake ass. One of my other friends was talking about Mary Lou's this weekend, saying like, you need to come check this place out. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to come. So me and my other friend, we go there. We get there. The line is long as fuck. First of all, I don't do lines, baby. Okay. I'm not that kind of bitch. I don't do lines. I walk to the straight to the front of the line as a bad bitch should, right? So I get there. I text my friend. Hey, Habibi, I'm here. I'm here. I'm outside. Come get me. So he comes outside, he sees me. Actually, no, he doesn't even see me. He's coming outside, he's like kind of looking and I'm like waving my hand like this so he can see me. The person who's standing there says, oh, you don't have to wave your hand like that, they'll see you. I'm like, he can't see me, I'm gonna make sure my friend sees me. So I wave my hand and he sees me and is like, hey. And he is like, yeah, I'm getting her in. And they were like, oh yeah, we'll get her in. We'll get her in. But you need to clear this place because there was a bunch of people. They were like, but you need to clear this main place. So he goes back in. And so, you know, they kind of like were like, oh, they'll get you in a few minutes. Then at that point, I called my friend who was in the back and I was like, girl, come to the front. They're going to let us in. So we're waiting there for a little bit. But they're letting people in. They're like, you know, dapping up people, letting people in, you know. 10 people, 6 people, 5 people. So I'm like, baby, you said you're gonna let us in. Like, what is happening? Okay. And I text my friend again and he's like, okay, I'm gonna come back out again to like figure out what's happening. So he very graciously comes out again and is like, I'm inside, I'm getting these 2 people in. And so the person standing there points at a group of white girls. And he said, them? And he says, no, them. Points at us. The guy looks me up and down, looks at my friend up and down, come back and looks at me up and down. I says, no. Excuse me? What did you say? No. And then they were like, he was like, oh, we're only doing tables right now. I said, I'll buy a table, baby. I got an AP on my wrist. You think I can't buy a $2,000 table? Are you mad? Are you stupid? Because he was looking at me up and down. He thought, oh, let me scare her with that $2,000 table. I said, I'll buy the table. He said, we're at capacity. As he's saying we're at capacity, somebody's dapping up somebody else at this end with five other people. I thought you had capacity. So I was telling him, but you've been letting people in and out. Like, not even in and out, in. You've been letting big groups of people in. They're like, oh, they're only doing tables. I said, then I'll buy the table. I'll buy the table. And he was like, no. So at that point, I was already getting heated. Heated. Like, I was getting so upset. And the thing is that bothers me about places like Miami and LA and sometimes New York is that it doesn't matter what level of notoriety you have in your industry. If these people size you up and you don't fit their level of whatever they have in their head, they're gonna take you for idiot. They're gonna take you for idiot, okay? And so then I was getting heated and my friend could see it. My friend was like, you know, girl, let's just go. You know, let's blow this joint. And I had to blow that joint. But the thing is that I just feel like that was like such a racist experience. Like, I love being in Miami, but I hate experiences like that. But he sized me up and said, no, you don't fit the aesthetic of this place. He didn't care that I was gonna pay the money. For him, he was like, you are not someone we want to have in our establishment. And that, I heard that. And we left. But this place just opened up. We could clearly see the kind of people that they were letting in. I wasn't even paying attention to the fact that these people are probably sizing up and being like, these black women are not people that we want to have in this establishment. We want to have the skinny, tall, blonde girls, the Latinas with the fat asses. You know what I mean? That's what they wanted to have. Anything else, they said that is not the aesthetic we want to have. I truly wish I had the power to take down institutions.
Hold on, sorry.
That, you know, I mean, that's how many times we've experienced that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that is, and it made me sad because that is such a normalcy for me of not feeling like the space is really for me. And I think what even sadder is that I continue to go to spaces that, you know, I still try to make the space because other people want to go there. And I know how, you know, we just talk about, I don't want to call this club out, but you know, the one you can't stand. But well, even though I do like that one compared to some of the other ones, right? It's some I just don't go, right? It's so many clubs in Austin that I feel like that's not meant for us, gay spots that I just don't go to, right? The aesthetic. And it's not that they treat you different. It's just the atmosphere. It's the air. It's the music. It's the by design, right? Like, you know, they don't even have to be as blatant as the door person was with her. But I've experienced that too, right? Like, we don't want you here. We just don't want you here. And I was just thinking about Miami, like, how is a place like Miami like that? Because if you in there, like, I'm looking at her and she's definitely a Caribbean woman, I'm assuming, or definitely not foundational black. So she's bringing some kind of, you know, island or some kind of other feeling, which Miami is like this diverse place. I can imagine going to a club in Miami and all you're not seeing the diaspora of the Caribbean or, you know, different Latin folks or African folks. That's kind of like what Miami should be about, right? Like the different cultures, all the immigrants, right? And when I think of Miami, that's what I think of. But I also think of the gatekeeping of the Colombians or the Cubans and the fair, you know, skin other, right? What I mean, other non-Americans or non-foundational Americans, you know, because they could be American, but they're Cuban-American or whatever they're coming from, or Venezuelan or Colombian, or they're, you know, Dominican, but, you know, the Dominican that is accepted and not necessarily the Dominican that look more like Haitians and stuff. So, but it's crazy that even within that culture, it's not crazy. What am I saying? This is every day. So I feel her. I mean, but unfortunately, I get sad because I feel like that is just the normal trajectory of someone of the African diaspora going into a space that's not designed for us or welcoming.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't have a popular opinion about this at all. That's why I wanted to play. First of all, well, the experience was the experience. And like you said, I've definitely been in that experience. I've definitely had that feeling. Going to certain spots, you know, it just be like that. And it's unfortunate. And, you know, it's just the bullshit of how some of these clubs, bars, whatever, you know, they want who they want in there. It is what it is. My problem, particularly with her and certain black people, I'm about to talk to y'all for a second, too. I need y'all to understand that even though we might be at spaces where we have money, or we might even have more money than the people that's at these places, you shouldn't offer that up to any establishment when they are clearly telling you they don't want you in there. That was a problem I had when you were talking about, oh, I'll pay the $2,000. He already pretty much told you he wants you in there. So why are you bartering with him to get up in there? That's first of all, like, you know, I got this watch and, you know, I don't do lines and all this kind of stuff. I get that because she is a very popular influencer. And, you know, I would say she's well known. She's been a Sports Illustrated. Like, people know who she is. I get it. But the minute that you are getting that type of energy, you saw what that man was on when you got there. You saw who he was letting in. You probably saw all the people he was letting up in there. You should have already knew that it wasn't like that to begin with. And another thing, I don't know who that friend was who was inside the club, because the girl she was with was another black girl. Clearly the person that called her there was something else. Mm-hmm. That was not your friend. I hope you're not still talking to him, or you're still not communicating with him, because that's not your friend. Because he didn't. My thing is, okay, if my friends can't get in, okay, well, we about to go. Like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, well, you're not gonna let them in now? Okay, so what? Oh, well, okay, well, we're just gonna leave. Like, we're not gonna. I'm not gonna stay here.
What are we talking about?
Right, like, we're not. There's nothing to talk about. We just about to go to the next spot. All three of us, not just. Oh, you can't get them in. Oh, okay. Well, I'm about to go back in to go with my other friend. That's not your friend. And I hope that she isn't still communicating with him, because, girl, that's not your friend. And another issue I have is with the comments. Now, I didn't show that part. Or you didn't hear that part. But a lot of the comments were, you know, Mary Lou, fix it, Mary Lou. Fix what? Do you want them to just say, oh, blacks allowed next week? You want to put a sign up? Like, what do you mean fix it? It's no fixing it. They don't want us there. They don't want us in there. So guess what? We don't need to go. And since y'all like to boycott, then y'all need to boycott that spot. How about that? Boycott that club. Not saying we need to fix it. And she did say she wanted to shut it down. I give her that. I didn't remember that the first time. She said, I wish I could shut down an establishment like this. And she did do that video. So I'm pretty sure they're getting some heat. So I'm glad she did do that. But I don't like how I kind of felt like she thought, you know, that you was going to be able to get around something because of who you are and because you got money. But, girl, you're still black. Sorry.
You're still black. I mean, you ain't got more money than Michael B. Jordan. He would just call a nigga on TV.
Right. You're still black. So, you know, I got this watch on my arm, girl. I paid the $2,000. What you talking about? Girl, they don't want your black ass in there. You're black.
They don't want your black ass in there.
And they don't want your black ass money. So my thing, it shouldn't have been like, I'm just really disappointed in the comments too. Cause I mean, it was people, even blue checks, Mary Lou, fix it. Mary Lou, what are we talking about? Mary Lou, fix it. What do you want them to do? Open up a black side for us to go? Wait, what do y'all want that? If they don't want us there, why do we want to just all of a sudden go next week? Oh, guess what, guys? We're letting blacks in. What? Oh, it's a celebration. What are we doing? Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Well, I get that. I get that. But so you just let them be blatant? I totally agree with you, right? Like, because again, segregation, you know, integration. I get that, and I get the WD boys versus Booker T. Washington. I get the opposing ideologies, right? But in that case, right, where you have a space and you are an influencer that is operating in that way, but boycott, I don't know if boycott wouldn't work. I mean, it works, meaning that we don't spend our money there, but if they don't want our money there anyway, but we allow them to flourish, is that like...
Well, but why would you want them to flourish with you in there? So you're saying, okay, well, so no, they just they put up a sign next week and say blacks can come now? So then that fixed
I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. I agree with you. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I guess she did what was supposed to be done.
She did.
Call them out. And then, but what is the fix, though? I guess it's going back, like you said, it's not about a sign, but because that's just like, you know, affirmative action, right? Like, just because they don't want us in there, but because they say that, that means, like, you have to, but in this sense of, like, social club, right? Like, what, like, even if they're getting heat and they lose, like, the only way, and I think that's where allyism come in, because that's the only way that would be, what you call that, they would feel anything, right? If the allies would then join the protest or join the situation, because us not going there wouldn't do anything, but that's what we need, the white folks or the people that is, you know, that's where allyship really works, because that would be the only way I feel like they, because if it's designed to discriminate against black people and they're able to do it, then boycotting it doesn't do anything in a sense. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I agree with you, then, like, but then they just need to be closed, because like you said, but that's just like Rain having hip hop night on the patio on Friday. You're highly having their events on Sunday, right? Like, those accommodations based on people's protests and people advocating for change. But I don't.
But has there ever been a time where we couldn't get in those places?
Well, not necessarily in the space. Like I said, you know, I'm pretty sure they can't just discriminate against everybody that ever went to that space, right? That was her experience. But I'm pretty sure it has been some people that felt like they couldn't get into Highland for whatever other reason, or they got charged, or, you know. But I meant, like, regardless of what the protest is, right? Like, because legally, they can't just not let black people into that, even where she's at. She was made to feel that way, and she was made, you know, they put parameters in there where she was. I mean, she's legal, like, you legally can't deny service based on race, right? Like, so they could not just not let her in, or anybody based on their race, but they can do, you know, the things to lead up to that, right? But so I'm kind of agreeing with you in a sense that, but what does that look like? Like you said, so now they're gonna have Hip Hop Fridays, like, then they're gonna be DUI, and it's gonna be, you know, then all of a sudden, but then we know at the core they never wanted us there in the first place. But also, is that the win, though, now taking up? But it kind of goes back. I guess this is a tricky situation, because it goes back to, like, taking up space. Because if we allow them to have the spaces they don't want us in, we you know, that's where the equity come in. But when we take space because we deserve, but then at the same time, like, what does that look like? So I don't know. Especially, it's easier to say, like, affirmative action in schools and jobs and all of that. But when it comes to, like, the social settings, it does get a little weird, because that's kind of like community building. And why would I want a community build somewhere that is foundationally not even wanting me to be there, versus, you know, collegiate and higher education and healthcare and all of that. But socially, why would I want to be involved in that? But I guess if we're fighting for space in all those sectors, then social spaces shouldn't get a pass of being discriminatory just because they can. If the hospital can't do it and everywhere else can't do it, jobs can't do it, why should that club get away with it? So I see both sides, but I'm like with you, I probably wouldn't go, right? I wouldn't go to hip hop night just because, especially if I was her, I definitely would never go back. Like if I experienced it firsthand, bitch, please.
Yeah, no. And she, like you said, she did what she was supposed to do. And if they, you know, I guess if they get a hip hop night and they can start going now, then it, I guess that's the fix that the people in comments wanted. So I guess. But going back to what you said, when it comes to spaces, like I'm just, fuck you. I'm not coming back. Like, I'm not going to spend my money there. I'm not. It's another club I could go to. The drink's probably watering anyway. I'm not coming back. I don't need to be in there. I'm good. So, you know, and her friend should have been the person that came out with that video. That's what should have happened. Her Waihite friend is the one that should have came up with that video. And that would have made some shit happen as opposed to her doing it. Because if her doing it.
I like
shit. Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I'm going with what you're saying. Then that's what should have happened. Then he should have said something, and then that could have did something where they could have got, they would have a quota maybe to have a certain amount of black people come in, or have a hip hop night. If that's what the comments want, if that's the fix. But
that's crazy. That's like when I'm listening to you say that, it sounds bonkers, right? You talk about a hip hop, a black section. And we're going to be in that black section, like.
Right. It's going to be the like, small. Because, it happened. No, it. I know. I like and that's why I'm not.
Same thing. That it, patio I, set, that, in the back of the club.
Oh, but isn't the one that's coming up? I think it's. Or have they already had it? The one that's coming taking up, they're taking over the main one. Mm hmm. So
progress.
Progress. So yeah,
but they had us back yonder.
They did, and even those spaces some of the times got took over. But I guess
our final words is: black people, take care of yourselves right now. And I'm gonna keep saying this every time because I feel like Edmondson, like you always say, the world is on fire and shit is happening. And we can't even watch, even though I don't even watch the motherfucking BAFTAs, but we can't even watch the BAFTAs in peace. We can't even watch Sinners get an award in peace on top of everything else that's going on. On top of everything else that's going on across every sector. I was just telling Neil, and I'm wrapping this up, but, you know, Kansas just passed the law that, and if y'all don't know, I have a trans brother. Passed the law that they got rid of, if you're trans on your ID, they got rid of your, they revoked their license. How are you just going to revoke? And I'm thinking about Neil, like, that's his livelihood. How can you just take someone's license away from them? And that's why I'm saying, this, you know, this, it's crazy. And then that they can find you, they paying people to find people who's going to the bathroom that don't match the gender that they birth. They're paying people to do that. And so, you know, I worry about him. You know, I'm like, because I know he's been in Kansas, you know, or, you know.
Yeah.
And so, it's, you know, and they want to talk about, he don't know about disabilities. So, we gender justice, like the list goes on about what impacts us at our intersections. But just take care of yourself, y'all.
Yeah, take care of yourself. And I would say, you know, at prayer doesn't stay prayed up along with fighting and doing what you need to do, and let all the people, you know, all the people that's out here who are real red in politics and are speaking up and are that are boycotting, that actually are not doing it just to be part of Get Fresh Crew. We need all those people. I don't want to seem like I'm just like we don't need them. We do. We just need the right people. I just want the right people to do it that, you know what they're doing, know what they're talking about, that could truly be a representation for us as a people. Because some of these people that be stepping out to the front trying to talk, that's I cannot. You cannot be Steve the representation Smith. For us.
Oh, I have, I, you know, That's gonna be about, yeah. Mm. I'm gonna see now. I'm gonna tag you in my next video. I was trying not to.
Mm. Well, I guess we can end it. I did have something else I wanted to show to kind of lighten it up since we talked so much racism. Tyreek sent me something earlier. It's something fashion related.
Okay.
It's just real quick. Hopefully, hold on. You know, okay, I'm gonna have to just go ahead and switch it. This ain't the one though.
No.
It's this one. This is the Gucci Fall Winter 26 show. And this is just her. And what they said was so accurate because when I first saw it, I'm like, what is going on with this show?
Right, like, where's she going?
Right, where's she going? But that ain't else though. Like she was out. What I saw, I'm like, girl. But that's not else because the all of them. Hold on. Hopefully it plays. Right. Not her. Yeah. Look at that. look at these girls. Look at her. A woman of the hour. Look, she got fucked. Right.
So it was by design, the whole show.
I think it was by design. Yeah.
That walk.
Yeah,
that was like,
girl.
She was right. Like, girl, what's wrong with you?
That show was a woman of the hour show. I'm like, y'all, this is, y'all was like, y'all just got fucked. Y'all was doing y'all walk of shame. Y'all was on the blade. I'm like, what is going on here? You know, I'm going to talk about the more fashion parts of it, but you know, on my own platform or whatever. But yeah, it was definitely given, these fashion shows are starting to be something else. I'm like, oh, they really be selling sex. Okay. Because them girls look like they just got fucked. But anyway.
But shout out to all our sex workers. We love y'all.
Yeah, it's representation in the fashion shows now. So, tonight, yeah.
Get on rent.men for massage tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, on that note, good night, everybody. Thanks for listening and watching.
Yeah.
Holla.
Bye.